Dr. Ramesh Richard serves as Professor of Global Theological Engagement and Pastoral Ministries. That is a title that represents his globe-trotting trends as an evangelist and church health expert. He's a member of our faculty for more than 30 years. He's the founder of REACH, which is Ramesh Richard Evangelism and Church Health, a global proclamation ministry that evangelizes opinion leaders and strengthens pastoral leaders primarily of Asia, Africa, and Latin America. His teaching interests include expository preaching and spiritual life. Other academic and research interests include global pastoral training, contemporary world trends, hermeneutics for homiletics, and applied Christian apologetics with special reference to the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has ministered in over 100 different countries, and in concert with Dallas Theological Seminary, REACH sponsors Global Proclamation Academy, which is an effort to connect the future leadership of world Christianity. GPA, as we affectionately refer to it, is part of a Global Proclamation Commission, a decade-long human capital campaign to deliver spiritual health worldwide by connecting and uniting and strengthening large numbers of young pastoral leaders in 200 different countries. Lord willing, in 2016, upwards towards 5,000 pastoral leaders from both formal and non-formal settings will gather in Bangkok, Thailand for a mid-decade Global Proclamation Congress for pastoral trainers. It's been our privilege to host the GPA on our campus each summer for the last number of years, bringing in specialty coaches in areas of theological discernment, biblical exposition, spiritual life, and that's been a wonderful partnership and has expanded not only the outreach of REACH, but also of Dallas Theological Seminary to a worldwide audience. Ramesh is a dear friend. Some of you are here as guests of REACH to have lunch with him. And if you're here as a guest of REACH, you're also a guest of DTS. Would you stand and let us recognize you this morning? And the First Lady of REACH is here as well. Bonnie, would you stand and let us recognize you? Thank you, Bonnie. And would you join me in welcoming Dr. Ramesh Richard to our platform this morning?
They told me that Fridays are a little weak in attendance, so I wanted to bring my own congregation with me. And that's why they're here. Honored to be back on campus. Lots has changed since I am on this temporary reconfiguration, wonderfully accommodated and allotted by my esteemed friend and president, Dr. Mark Bailey. You are going through a lot of personal changes about this time of the semester when you wonder if you did the right thing starting another semester at the seminary. The role that I have played here is very, very important, and I look forward to coming back very soon, right after the GPRO Congress that I'm going to speak about in just a moment. It's a huge gift to me to have this time of reconfigured moments across the world. I want to be back for the centennial for sure, because 90 years of an organization of which I've served over 30 is a powerful moment for the history of our school, which I believe is really multi-generational replenishment for the global church. And I want to do this intentionally globally, rather than just randomly globally and accidentally globally or luckily globally. And that's part of the role that I would like to play for my alma mater in Dallas Seminary. Seminary has also changed. All the construction is going on. Offices changed. I think every time I've come back, I've got a new office. I'm glad they didn't lock me out of those. And faculty changes. I think this is the first time I'm speaking with Chaplain Bill Bryan, uninhibited, gracious, who remembers every name, asking me to speak here. Usually trots me out of the front part of January. I could not do this because of travel, and I did not know that I would not see him here. such a wonderful man. He was my pastor before he became chaplain here at Dallas Seminary. A sympathetic man, knows every name here. You probably experienced that. He'll actually hold your hand in sympathy before you go into your executioner Greek final examinations and pray with you. Our city has changed. Dallas is now the fourth largest metro area in the United States. The Texas can-do spirit has taken barely a desert and turned it into a powerful city. There used to be a single unifying experience of all Dallas when the Dallas Cowboys really did well and used to play at the Super Bowl level every year for several seasons. After they lost this last time, I have heard that since the Dallas Cowboys are not any longer America's team, we should go ahead and secede from the Union, then we'll be Texas team as well. So, our nation has changed. Over 40 million people are foreign born. In my little city of Richardson, where I presently live, 106 languages are spoken. This is a new moment. The election cycle will start, if it's not already upon us. I know that we will see changes in our world with the Heraclitian maxim that the only constant is change. Our world has changed. 2015 could be actually messier than 2014. We only hear of the big places of the world like Syria and Ukraine, but there are about 30, 40 flashpoints in the world, any one of which can erupt at any time and make this world a desperately, dastardly place. And into this world is what we are called. Now, each year when I speak in January, I brought some spiritual reflection and motivation. I hear you had a tremendous week last week with the Rainies. Next week, you'll have theological reflection with my friend and colleague, and Dr. Kurvila, and some biblical exposition, which you hear all the time. But today, I'm going to fulfill a mandate that some of our faculty gave me 2 years ago when I presented this particular issue to the faculty retreat. They said our students need to hear it so they can own it and the seminary can own it even greater and deeper ways. So today, I'm really casting a global vision. I remember a church lady who came to me and said, when I heard one of those professor types was speaking, I did not expect to get much out of it. But for being a Dallas Seminary professor, you spoke like a man without any education at all. So I would like to follow the mandate of the faculty, and a couple of those are here today who wanted me to share this with you guys. All right, this is our world at the moment, and we want to do something about our world and Dallas Seminary's own role in our world. The GPRO Commission is a 10-year human capital campaign to fulfill the Global Proclamation Commission of the Lord Jesus. By connecting, uniting, and strengthening large numbers of pastors into a global proclamation community. I really appreciated the song of the morning, which Joel led us toward in worship. And several commissions of the Lord Jesus, as you know, at least five in the Gospels. This one in Luke says, repentance and forgiveness is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Proclaimed is proclamation, and that's one of our root charter established uniqueness of the seminary across the world. But it's also global, all nations. And it's one of the commissions, so we call it the Global Proclamation Commission. We wanted something that would be affecting large numbers of people, which would be long-term, at least the middle of the 21st century, perhaps into the end of the 21st century. A couple of weeks ago, I was in a high denominational church where everything went askance. There were more people in the choir than in the congregation. And the pastoress was late, and she apologized for being late. I said, we really need to bring this congregation into the 20th century. And she said, you mean the 21st century, right? I said, no, one century at a time is just fine. Something that's worldwide, 200 countries, church deep, that's the only thing he said he will build, on site, because pastors are on site. They don't get up and leave. This is the fifth year anniversary of the Haitian earthquake, after which I spoke in chapel, and the 10th anniversary of the tsunami in Southeast Asia. About 13, 14 countries were affected, after which I spoke in chapel that I recall. Our pastors there do not get up and leave. They have to hang on. They're the ones who will be there for the long term. Recently in Uganda, they said what they would like are clerical collars so that people know that their clergy is serving people. They're on site, more relevant. Pastors there are far more relevant than those who go and enter into these countries for a while. Want something that was fast-tracked. Not only the four-year slow cooking process that we want you to go through, but also the immense need right now all across the world. There's low cost per pastor, disciplined execution. Almost anybody with reasonable intelligence can come up with an idea. But to execute it well takes discipline. Actually, strategy is for amateurs. Execution is for professionals. And scalable as well. If it's small, do it in a small, good way. If it's large, do it in a large, good way. Here's the need for the GPRO Commission. First, explosive population growth. In 2008, our world went through two changes. For the first time, the world became an urban world. First time since the Tower of Babel. Secondly, in 2008, more people began to worship Lord Jesus in Spanish than in any other language in the world. That's only for a short time till Chinese becomes the language of the Christian faith. Most of these live now in cities, 400 so cities. We crossed the 7,000 million mark in late 2011. They don't know if it was a Filipino baby or an Indian baby, but we'll get the demographers to discuss that. I've actually downloaded an app called the iWorld Population Clock, which tells me what the population of the world is at any given time. This morning I checked, it's 7.2, almost 1.5 billion, 7,200. Lots and lots of people, 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 people everywhere. It's like the day after Thanksgiving when you're jostling with a whole bunch of people trying to return the stuff or buy new stuff. All right, second is exponential church growth. At least two-thirds of the church are now in traditional non-Christian worlds, meaning Asia, Africa, and Latin America. The North Atlantic Arc, which for 200 years especially has been the force for global work in missions, has borne great fruit. And today, there are, at low estimates, 50,000 new believers. Jim Dennison here in town says 82,000 new believers. But a German researcher, I'm going to go with Germans rather than Americans in terms of research, it says 50,000 new believers every day. And where are they found? In the non-Christian worlds. Some think up to 75% of the world church is over there. A third reason is because of expanding pastoral presence. At least 2 million pastors in the world, researchers say it's between 2.2 million and 3.4 million pastors in the world. We'll take the lower end, 2.2 million pastors in the world, of whom only 5% are formally trained. That means you, after one semester here, you have more training than 2 million pastors in the world. If you've just gone through your Bible study methods course, you're already in a huge advantage. If we don't address this will be the largest numbers of unsaved in history and for eternity. I was in China with one of our grads, and he comes to me and says, Ramesh, between the countries you and I represent, early in our lives, a third of the future population of hell currently exists, right now. That was a haunting, daunting thought. Secondly, church growth will become mere sociology. Just because there's so many people coming to Christ does not mean they're establishing the faith. Rwanda, for example, is the best sad story of this reality. Rwanda is the most Christian country in all of Africa. 20 years ago, massive genocide. 1 million people killed between Hutus and Tutsis. Only thing differentiating them was the width between the cheekbones. They had church growth, but it was just sociology. Third, pastors would continue to serve alone and without training. I've run into them all over our world without training. I would not get into an airplane where the guy is not trained. I wouldn't go to a doctor where the guy is not trained. Some time ago, I was in Bangladesh. Bangladesh, it's this guy with 600 pastors, you know, about 19 sort of denominations. He has his name, Pastor Islam. I said, tell me the story. He said, 8 months ago, I was Muslim. So 8 months later, he has not only come to know Christ, he is also a pastor. I don't know what he's saying. There's a new trend called miracle money, run by charlatans, where they say after they pray for you, miracle money will appear in your wallets. I think it'll be helpful for seminary students, as well as in your bank account. It's called manifestations. Stories like this abound all over the place. They're called and gifted, but they don't have basic skills and tools and resources. If we address this, we'll correct creedal and cultural misunderstandings of the faith. Christianity is no longer empirically a foreign faith to any part of the world. It's entrenched some as long as 2,000 years. It'll undergird church growth with church health. Growth without health is cancer. Cancer is basically growth without health. Three, sustain effective pastoral leadership in local churches. Provide nourishment for fine young lead pastors. So the mission is a human capital campaign. This is not a building campaign. It's not a financial campaign. It is a human capital campaign to connect, unite, strengthen large numbers of fine young lead pastors into a global proclamation community to fulfill the commission. The anticipated outcome is 100,000 connect, unite, strengthen pastors, 200 countries by 2020. That's about 5.5 years from now. But the vision is spiritual health for 1,000 million individuals. So in early 2000s, I heard of a model at SMU, right close by, where 25 lawyers were brought to the campus by an outside group called the Southwest Legal Foundation. They found out that these 25 lawyers who wanted to learn American democracy principles, they brought a coach from Harvard for a day or from Stanford for a day, not only learned good content, but became good friends. Now the Supreme Court Justice of Pakistan and Peru are good friends. I went to see them. I said, is there some way we can check this model out for the future of the world faith so they can be good friends? And they welcomed me, and then they gave me a huge gift. They said, we'd like to do something for the nonprofit world. If you do this for pastors in the world, we'll help you out. They told me exactly the line I needed to say to Dr. Bailey. We came there, came together, and in 2005, we started what's called Dallas GPA, 25 countries, 25 pastors every year for 3 weeks in June. The Lord willing, they'll be here this June. It's an exciting time on campus, and they are terrifically benefited, and I think they bless you as well. They meet five criteria. They're the mid-30s, so they have 20-year friendships. They're main pastors of a congregation regardless of size. A church in Syria may only have 10 people. A church in Ethiopia may have 1,000 people. They have to talk English, so the Syrian and the Ethiopian can talk to each other. Number four, they have a vision for pastoral training and multiplication. They're not preoccupied with their own congregations. Number five, they have meaningful relationships with 10 other pastors of any age, anywhere. They have five criteria to meet, but two conditions. One, they come up with half their round-trip airfare. So they own something of this particular program. We underwrite the rest. Secondly, they cannot apply. They have to be nominated. We have a global referee system of about 700 or 800 people who are active and looking for us. And if you know young pastors who fit those five criteria we'd like to know about. Just the best in these 200 countries. So that's what we call the Dallas GPA. Went for 5 years, every 5th year is a break. In 2010, we launched the 10-year Human Capital Campaign Project, but also the national versions of the Dallas GPA, where 25 young pastors inside a country come. Last week, we finished GPA in Cuba in this slightly more relaxed atmosphere. We didn't know we'd be among the first to have it there. We were expecting 25, 32 insisted that they need to be there. One wrote saying, this is just like heaven for him. So we're looking at 136 countries by the year 2020 in terms of national GPA. But what I want to mention today is the GPRO Congress, the Global Proclamation Congress. Well, here are a couple of pictures. The top one is the Dallas GPA. The bottom one is GPA Cuba, fresh, about 10 days ago, okay, with their completion certificates. Now, if you would turn into the flyers that were given to you, one side you have the forwardable flyer. We'll send it to you if you want to send it to others who should be there in Bangkok, Thailand, the Lord willing, in 2016. But the other side has got five columns. This is called a logic chart, which one of my colleagues helped me put together. It's a 60, 70 page prospectus put in one simple page. The far right, you'll find two arrows, which says pastoral health affects church health affects societal health. You are seeing proof of this. The pastor is healthy, the church is healthier. The church is healthier, the communities in which they serve are healthier. That's both the assumption and the impact. But go to the first column. We're looking at pastoral trainers coming from these four sources. 2 years ago, we commissioned a group out of Boston, Gordon Conwell, to identify every confirmed pastoral training initiative in the world, every individual, every church, every organization, every institution. They came up with about 7,628, about 2,000 of them will fit our floor. Dallas Seminary, of course, would be an institution. Others would be funders, strategists, who strategize in areas of ministry, theorists, or pedagogy experts in adult education. Facilitators are usually now in leadership, presidents and principals and deans. They used to do a lot of pastoral training, but now they're in a position of facilitating it. And aspirants, we want half this event to be under the age of 40 for two reasons. One, to be friends for the next 20 years. The second, we want to protect this event from the Congress mafia, who go from event after event after event, and they don't have time to implement their own ideas. Also, all will be under the age of 99. The cost will be not more than $4,500 a delegate. We take the farthest point from Bangkok, which is Argentina and Chile, and the total cost of a delegate will be $4,500. REACH hopes to pay for hotel, food, venue, and internal transportation. The delegates pay for the airfare and registration fee, which is variable according to citizenship, ministry, and residence. Activities, two kinds. One is pre-Congress, that's where we are. We're hoping up to 5,000 come. We'd rather have the right 500 than a bad 5,000. To identify and mobilize. Our mobilization leaders are here today. Select, commit, introduce them even before the event. During the Congress, we have four objectives. One is to build community. Dr. Bailey and I were in Cape Town for the Lausanne event 4 years ago. We just put a word of mouth deal saying, if you're in pastoral training, please come to a lunch. We thought there'd be a dozen, hundreds showed up. Shut the door, we said 2 days later, can we come again? Can we do this? And we had dozens who showed up. Between the formal and the non-formal sectors, there needs to be some rapprochement. There was a declaration by pastoral trainers which said that formal guys think of non-formal guys as ad hoc and pragmatic. The non-formal guys think of us in the formal world as too theoretical and irrelevant. There needs to be a complementarity in this whole thing. So last June, Dr. Bailey made the way for me to address the theological educators of the world on this particular issue, warmly received, and I said, for you to survive and also thrive into the future, you want to add non-formal training complements to your existing institutions. Second is to explore opportunity, not only build community, explore opportunity. I told you about Uganda. A month ago, I was there. Small seminary, three professors, the campus the size of Lam Auditorium. They are struggling to minister, exist as a seminary. Now comes a national fellowship of born-again Pentecostals who say to them last October, could you please train our 30,000 pastors who are serving right now? 30,000 pastors. Not one of them has a day of training. Outside Rio, where there will be the Olympics next year, São Gonzalo is a suburb. It's a church plant every day, every day. It's now reduced from 7 days a week to only five churches a week during working days. They have 8,000 pastors, usually from the neo-charismatic, neo-Pentecostal world, who have exploded. 8,000 pastors right now. There's huge opportunities for you. You're already trained, in a sense. Yeah, I know you're going through the first year crucifixion, the second year burial. That's why we don't let you out before the resurrection, the lame, you know, joke we have, the seminary being the cemetery. We want to get resurrected before you leave, but right now, they're needed, needing help. Third is to discover resources, four kinds of resources. Human resources are the most important resources. Second are curricular resources, all kind of curricula available all over the world. Third is technology resources. Your phone, my computer. The sum total of human knowledge is right now available. Right now. Now, there's no data discernment, but it's available. The fourth is what I'm going to call funding resources, financial resources. The final objective is to receive encouragement. At the Amsterdam 2000 Congress, 80% of those who are addressing, coming to the itinerant evangelist event were ready to quit before they started the event. What they didn't keep an account was how many were willing to stay in ministry after they finished. They didn't have a follow-up. So you go to the next column. We have not only the affinity streams, which are organizational. We'd like to have all pastoral trainers who belong to Dallas Seminary across the whole world having global celebration there. We'll have our own time of sub-gathering. I mean, all our faculty could come. Secondly, geographical affinities, 10, 12 regions of the world. And third is going to be critical issues. Between 48 and 60 workshops, all having to do with pastoral training. Let me give you a couple. Bivocational pastors in pastoral training. Biggest trend in the world. Second is orality in pastoral training. How do you teach a guy who doesn't know how to read? Preaching and pastoral training, all kinds, lots and lots of these. But the most important bullet, which says post-Congress, should be in your heart. We have a saying at Reach that every event begins the day after. Every event begins the day after. Usually it's preparation, big event, small follow-up. It's preparation, big event, big follow-up. The finish line is really December 31st, 2020. We're having attendees commit to be responsible for 25 pastors a year for the following 4 years, 100 altogether. Institutions can do this most easily. But notice it says on average. Because in Iran, you may only have five pastors, but in Nigeria, you may have 500,000 pastors. Some poor pastoral trainer in a village in Malawi may do one pastor a day, but the Southern Baptists who I met yesterday, or the Assemblies of God, could do 50,000 or 60,000 pastors a year. So, 25 pastors a year on average, but the good thing is two of your 25 will become pastoral trainers themselves. The following column is the outcome column. Not only do you have better delivery of pastoral training, but you'll have more pastors trained. This is not the only way to measure its impact, but it's 5,000 times 100, it's 500,000, then we're going to take an 80% worst-case scenario cut to get the 100,000 that I told you about earlier this morning. But the real joy is that even after 50% attrition, we have 20,000 new pastoral trainers who will become the best students in seminaries like ours. So that it's not just randomly accepting anybody who applies. And we can actually have them screened in. It'll feed into all the 1,500 schools or so across the world. It'll be replenishing all the time. And so, the vision is to contribute to the spiritual health of 1,000 million individuals the following 10 years. Because pastoral health affects church health, and church health affects societal health. I close with an illustration. All of you in Texas know about fracturing, where previously impermeable rocks are now able to be penetrated in what's called horizontal drilling. It's called fracking now. So the two ways of getting this oil to market, the old way of truckloads to refinement and use, it's lots of trucks needed and very, very expensive and slow, or is to build a pipeline, an infrastructure for the future. Everybody can plug in, and for speed and efficiency and cost, it amortizes its high front-end investment very, very quickly. So we are attempting to build a pipeline for the world, and I'm grateful for Dallas Seminary being the front end of it. It's 11:20 when Dr. Garippa wanted me to stop, and the famous Texan polysyllabic farewell, bye,